whole thing?
How you doing today? Good. Hey, it's Second Sunday. What we do, if you're a guest today, we extend a warm welcome. We're really glad you're here. We're in a series called Jesus Is, and we're talking about Jesus. We've been talking about the fact that Jesus is hope and truth, and He is the way. And this week, we're going to talk about Jesus being something a little different.
Being a party animal. So, we're going to look at Scripture and how that relates to who He is and what it means for us in our lives. But before we do, every second Sunday of the month, we do a little special offering. It helps pay down our mortgage, and when we have some difficulties, some different things need to be done. We had a little air conditioning issue upstairs that we're getting ready to fix. So if you don't want to indulge us with this offering, you don't have to, but we do it every second Sunday of the month, and some people know that, so we want to make sure that you get an opportunity to do that. So let me pray for our offering. We have our regular offering at the end of the service, as usual. Lord God, we just thank you for the opportunity to that we're blessed in so many ways that we just sometimes take for granted. And we thank you, God, that you've given us a church family, given us the opportunity to worship, and we can do that in the freedom of this country that you've given to us, that we get the opportunity to live in. So help us not to ever take that for granted. We pray for our offering. I pray for the message that I'm about to share, that we would hear what we need to hear and understand a couple things, God, that maybe we didn't understand before from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As they're going around with the basket for that second Sunday offering, let me share a couple of announcements with you. Pick up shoe boxes. A lot of them are gone. Don't forget to bring them back, though. You got to fill them, okay? Because I've done that where, oh, I got that in my trunk. Yeah. And it's January, February, and it's too late. So please make sure you bring those back. We're doing a reenactment, or not a reenactment, trying to do a two-scale tabernacle upstairs. And my wife had a meeting last week about that, so that went well. They're moving forward with that. If you'd like to help, just make sure you see my wife. Also, church picnic, October 30th. I'm excited about this. We're going to have a great time. We're doing pulled pork shoulder, or some like to call the shoulder the butt. I still can't figure out how it's the same thing, but it is. So we're smoking like 30 or 40 pounds of meat. And anytime somebody says somebody's smoking something, I got to be there. So it's going to be good. We also have a jump house for the young children. I think we should have an adult time in the jump house, don't you think?
Yes.
I didn't say that, did I? No. You guys are getting hurt, you know, blood. Whoever gets hurt the most wins. You get a second dessert. I'm working on some special dessert for you guys, some popsicles. My son owns a popsicle shop over in Orlando, so we'll try to bring some of those over for you. But you can also bring a dish to pass if you can. And if you like, bring a dessert as well. We'll have hamburgers. We have a couple hamburgers and stuff, but that's not going to be the predominant part of that picnic. Just a chance to get to know people and have a good time. Hopefully the weather gets great. Tomorrow morning is going to be 68 degrees and low humidity. So get outside if you can. Have breakfast with your loved one if you can. Do something early. It's going to be wonderful. Prayer requests. You know, a lot of times we miss the prayer requests, and I apologize for that, but prayer is so important. It's the lifeblood of the church. So there are prayer cards on the table out there. There's some in the pews as well, or the seats as well. Would you just take time? If you got a prayer request, we want to be praying for that, and it gets sent out. And if you'd like to receive those prayer requests, just put, hey, here's my email. Put me on that list, because I want to be praying. I want to make sure that the church is praying for so many needs, because the world is filled with so many of those important needs. Another one that I don't want to forget is Saturday is a packing party, Operation Christmas Child packing party, 10 a.m. 10 a.m., it's not in your weekly, 10 a.m. Saturday here at the church packing party. Who wouldn't want to be at a packing party, right? Saturday, 10 a.m., that's here. And then on October 23rd, I'm going to talk about Jesus being a healer next week. I'm going to finish up the series, and then you've been putting cards out. I've been going through those and kind of categorize them. I know that I can't answer all your questions, but you asked for it. We're going to do about 4 or 5 weeks. I'm going to do 2 or 3 questions each week if I can. You've asked a lot of important questions. Some of them are a little tricky. Some of them are a little difficult to answer, but I'm doing my best to do that. We're going to talk about dinosaurs and and other different things, and the life of the earth, and are we living in the end times, and what does that mean, and a lot of different things that we got. You know, why do we suffer? That was like one of the top questions. We're going to answer that question as well. So that's going to be fun. That starts October 23rd. We'll be doing that for 4 or 5 weeks because we got a lot of questions we want to answer. If we don't answer your question, I apologize, but I'll make sure that we put it in somewhere in the series or in the next couple of weeks. Let's pray together. We need to be praying for those who were influenced and hurt and injured and killed, their families, this last week in the devastating hurricane, Matthew. Almost 1,000, from what I understand, were killed in Haiti alone. A few were killed in Florida, I think 10 or so, and there's so much flooding and devastation and hurt and loss. So let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you that we can come together in the name of Jesus and know that in the difficult days and people who have lost loved ones and going through things that are horrific and will for some time now, that we want to lift them up to you right now. We know, God, that this world is filled with so much pain. And yet you give us moments of joy, and we thank you for that as well. Give us your strength and show us, God, how we can help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like I said, we're in a series called Jesus Is, and you've been filling in the blank. I've been filling in the blank there. And let me ask you, as we get on the topic today, I want to go right into it because I got a lot to talk about. What was the best party you've ever been to? Think about that. What was the best party you've ever been to? I've been to a lot of parties, but my favorite parties to attend, and I've been to some of yours that I remember, has to be a wedding. How many of you love weddings? Aren't they like really cool? I mean, you get to dance, and everybody's just having a really, really good time. And then if you're not dancing, you're making fun of people who are on that little wooden floor dancing a lot of times, like, but you're not doing it, you know, but you're having a lot of fun. It's just great, lots of good food. Why are weddings so much fun? Because there's joy. That's the word I'm looking for. Happiness, yes, but joy, thank you. There's joy there. I mean, you know what the Bible says about Jesus? The Bible says that Jesus came full of joy. Full of joy. In fact, if you scroll through the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the gospel books, the first four books of the New Testament, you often find Jesus at some kind of party. You ever notice that? I mean, he's just hanging out with all different kinds of people in parties, and that gave Jesus a reputation. So today, we're going to fill in this blank this way. Jesus is a party animal. Jesus is, I remember you're like, whoa, that's sacrilegious. But stay with me, please, okay? Because I'll show you why he's a party animal and what that means to us. A party animal. I was thinking about the classic movie, Talladega Nights, The Legend of Ricky Bobby. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, rent it, okay? Those of you who are older, get the DVD edition. Anyway, get into an argument. You know, they get into this argument in the middle of the movie. You might remember this, right? And one guy says, I like to think of Jesus. And when I think of Jesus, he's wearing the T-shirt, the tuxedo T-shirt, saying that I'm kind of formal, but I like to party too. Right? I mean, and you know, I laugh at that line, but you know what? I don't think he's that far off. I really don't. As I've been reading through the Gospels again and again, especially the last couple of weeks, preparing for this series, I really think that's who he was. I mean, you might remember the famous story Jesus told of the prodigal son about this kid that takes his dad's money, his inheritance, and he wastes it on wild living, and then he comes to his senses, and he comes back home, and a lot of us have a story maybe very close to that, similar to that, but do you know why Jesus told that story? Do you know what prompted Jesus to tell that story? Here's the story. Take a look at the first part. By this time, tell us why, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religious scholars were not at all pleased. They growled, he takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Their grumbling triggered this story. So now we have the context. Now we know why he told this story. It was about the Pharisees and Sadducees saying, oh, he's hanging out with people he shouldn't be hanging out with. Jesus tells them a story about the true heartbeat of God. The religious leaders, they hated Jesus. They couldn't stand Jesus. They hated the way a so-called holy man of God could hang out with such unholy undesirables. But if you've been with us for this series, you know that God knows no undesirables. Amen? Here's the cool thing about Jesus. The people who were least like Jesus liked Jesus. You know? The people who were least like Jesus liked Jesus. You know what? Jesus liked them. Jesus was fun and real and inclusive and confident and humble and honest and kind. He was warm. He was friendly. People wanted to be around him. Little kids, what would they do? They'd climb up on Jesus' lap. He always got invited to parties. I mean, he loved to go to a party. Because he knew that people would be there that needed a touch from God. Wouldn't it be great if we were known as people who threw parties like that, great parties like that? They're fun and inclusive. Whatever they have, you know, I want some of that. That's the kind of party I want to go to. The types of people that Jesus chose to hang around with weren't your typical religious crowd. And the team that Jesus chose to spread the gospel around the world, chose to spread God's love around the world, were some of the most unlikely, unqualified, undesirable people on the planet. One of those guys was a guy named Levi. Or Matthew. And Jesus called Matthew to become one of his disciples in a very simple way. And I want to give you the setting. Jesus had just healed someone who had been paralyzed, and he told this guy to get up and walk. And when he did, he did. And everyone was talking about what Jesus had just done. Luke says this in Luke 5. Take a look. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. It's like an H&R Block thing, you know, one of those booths, right? He says, "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. Look at this. So it says, so Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. I don't know, maybe Matthew had been standing in the back of the crowd that day when Jesus healed that paralyzed man. Maybe he saw what Jesus had done earlier in that day, or maybe he had seen something else that Jesus had done earlier. Maybe he had heard something that Jesus had taught. Or maybe he saw something refreshingly different in Jesus and the possibility of living a better story, a better life ahead. So when Jesus invites him to follow him, Matthew just jumps at the chance. Maybe you didn't know this about Matthew. Matthew was a thug. Matthew was a thug. He was a much hated person. He was a sellout in the eyes of his fellow Jews because he worked for the oppressive Roman government collecting taxes for them. Matthew wasn't this pencil-pushing accountant in some office as far away somewhere. This guy's job was to separate you from your money. He had traded in his heritage, his religion, his values, his respectabilities, his reputation in the community to chase after the big bucks. And because he worked for Rome, nobody would have anything to do with this guy. Nobody except his fellow scumbags and Jesus. Jesus knew all about Matthew, and he still picked this guy to change his life. Sound anything like some of your stories? Sounds like mine. I mean, he chose me in spite of me. Matthew is so excited about the new direction his life is taking, he throws a party. And this is interesting. The word that Luke uses here for party in the Gospel of Luke means a bash. It means a huge, big-time blowout. And Matthew has lots of bucks. He's making lots of money. And so he's got the money to pull off this gigantic soiree, you know? I think it's cool that he decides to invest some money in his friends. So here's what Matthew plans to do. He says, I'm going to invite all my fellows, all my friends, so these so-called scumbags, to a party. Because nobody else invites them to parties. They never get to go to parties. They're always sitting at home Saturday night, you know? And so I'll invite Jesus and his friends to the party also, and maybe something awesome will happen as they mingle together. That's his plan. Great plan. So here's Jesus and his disciples hanging out with these rough, non-religious types. And these party crashers walk in. The Pharisees were the professional party poopers. They show up at almost every party. You ever notice this in Scripture? Every time Jesus is at a party, here they come again, right? Every time almost, there's a celebration that Jesus is involved in. Here come these guys trying to throw a damper on things. And Matthew himself writes these words in Matthew 9. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Right, these guys were always putting labels on people. Always. You ever done that? You ever done that? Size people up. Put them in a category. We do that, don't we? Oh, look at that guy. He's probably, you know. By the looks of her, you can tell that she's... That's what they did. They put labels on people. But Jesus put people into one category. And you know what the category is? Priceless. Priceless. You're in that category too. Priceless. So here are these religious label makers. They're talking to Jesus' disciples about why their teacher would hang out with people like this. But it's awesome how Jesus is the one who answers them because he's overhearing their questions. And look at what Jesus says in Matthew 9, starting in the 12th verse. When Jesus heard them talking to the disciples, he goes, I'll take care of this. He says, hey, listen to me for a second. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. Because they were experts at the word. They were the experts at the scriptures, the Pharisees, right? I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, you guys, but those who know they are sinners. There was another time when Jesus had to answer the same kind of criticism from this same group of guys. He said something like, you know, John the Baptist came fasting, and when he did that, you guys called him crazy. And I come feasting, because I'm at all these parties, and you call me a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of notorious sinners. You know, I'm not really worried about your self-righteous opinion polls because these people need a touch from God. I want us to look at a couple of different things that Jesus said about himself, okay? In Mark chapter 10, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then in Luke 19, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The story that Jesus tells about the prodigal son, the one that shows the heartbeat of God in the person of the father in that story, look how the story concludes. It says, starting in verse 22, but the father said to the servant, quick, bring the best robes, put them on him, put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. So they began to celebrate. That was Jesus' MO. He went through his life saying the kingdom of heaven is a party. The kingdom of heaven is a party. Everyone is invited. Let's throw open the doors. Let's do this together. Let's celebrate because my Father loves it when lost things get found, when the sick get well, when the hopeless get hope, when those who thought they were way too far gone, when they find new life. And this gathering at Matthew's home, at Matthew's place, had to be fun, right? I mean, I would have loved to be there and watch. Could that be pretty cool? Wouldn't that have been amazing? You got the disciples, and you got Jesus, and you got the prostitutes and the tax collectors, and they're all eating and talking, and man. As I read through the scripture, let me just say this, and I want you to think about a way we can do this, but I believe this is what we need to do. This is what we need to have. We need to have, for lack of another word, Matthew parties. Matthew parties. Invite your friends and a few Christians who aren't weird, you know. You might have to look a while, but do your best, you know. And see, just see what happens, you know. I mean, we need to learn to, and I'm going to use this phrase a lot because it's important. I want to nail this home. We need to invest and invite. We need to invest and invite. And it's simple. Invest and invite. Just invest in the people around you who are in your life. Be out there. Be real and friendly and kind and respectful. And invest some into that. Invest time and invest some food. Invest some coffee and patience. Some understanding, some help when people need help. Invest some genuine friendship into other people. Because I don't know anybody who has been argued into the kingdom of God. And I don't think it'll ever work that way. That's not the way God created us. I don't know anybody who has been judgmentally shamed into a relationship with Jesus. Do you? Make them a friend. They're not a project. People can tell. Friends open up. Friends ask questions. So when people know you genuinely care about them, they start opening up. You start talking about important things. You start talking about the spiritual things. There are people around us that just need a friend. Because sometimes the people in our world, the people in our class, the people in our neighborhood, the people that we work with, sometimes they just become like part of the landscape. You know what I mean by that? They're just there. You don't really notice them much anymore, just there. And we aren't really intentional about knowing their story, knowing who they are, and seeing if they need a friend. So we may say, hey, how you doing? But really, we don't really want to know. It's because when you ask that question, it's time consuming, isn't it? It's meant to be. And who knows where that might lead if you ask, hey, how you doing? I mean, you may have to get involved in their lives, and who knows where that mess may take you. To which God says, yeah, exactly, exactly. Who knows where that mess might lead? You may never know what God might do through you and the people that intersect into your life, that he puts into your life. Just be aware and be intentional and invest your life in other people. Get to know your neighbors. Throw a party. Invite them to dinner before you invite them to church. Know their story. Genuinely care about them. Invest and invite. Invest and what? invite. Invest and invite, because almost all of us came to church. Why do we come to church? We've come to church most often because somebody sometime invited us to come. Invest and invite. Did you know that most people will come if you invite them? They will. They're like, yeah, all right. What are you doing Sunday morning? I'm sleeping. Yeah, what time? I sleep till like 9. Church is at 10. Most people don't get here till like 10:15. You know, we got a little extra time there. Invest and invite. Jesus said in John 15, I have told you these things so that they will be, so that you will be filled with what? Here's the word again, joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Let your love and your joy spill over on people. He said, watch me do it. Now you do it. There's another great story, another chapter, excuse me, of the Gospels in Luke 14 about Jesus. And once again, guess where Jesus is in Luke 14? He's at a party. He's at a dinner party, and he notices how everybody is scrambling for the very best seats at that table. And they all want to sit at the place of honor. So he tells them, you know what, you ought to practice taking the lowest seat first. Because those who want to be exalted are going to be humbled, and those who are humble themselves will end up being exalted. And then Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the cripple and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid when? At the resurrection of the righteous. He's saying, don't leave people out, is what he's saying, okay? It's fine to invite your family over for dinner. It's not like, don't do that, okay? It's fine to invite them over for dinner and parties and stuff like that. He said, but I want to challenge you, Jesus said this, to broaden your invite list, to let your love be more inclusive, because there are people, there are lonely people, there are forgotten people, there are struggling people, there are people who feel less than on the other side of our doors. And they're just longing for an invitation. So we need to invite the kind, to live the kind of lives that lead people to ask this question, why? Kind of like Matthew, people had to wonder, what in the world's going on in your life, Matthew? I mean, you're the lowest of the low. You're taking taxes from us, from your people. You don't have any friends at all, and all of a sudden, your life is different. I mean, are people asking you about you this day, these days? Are they asking you what's going on? Why is your life changing? How are you beating that old habit? How did you get so much peace on the inside when you were always so stressed before at work? What's going on? You're not like that anymore. Can we sit down sometime and talk about that? What do you have that I don't? I want to know about that. I want to know what you're doing. You see, the gospel doesn't just happen to me. But happens what? Through me. It doesn't, the buck doesn't stop here. When you stop and think about it, God has given me so much. I mean, you know, I've been blessed beyond belief. I've been given mercy. I've been given grace. I've been given a second shot at life. I even had the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. I've got a reservation in heaven. How could anyone ask for anything more? And Jesus comes along and he says this, freely you have received these things that I just talked about, now you're to freely give them. Many of you are extravagantly, extravagantly generous. No doubt about it. Like Matthew was. He didn't have to throw a party like that. But that's what the church ought to be, the most generous place on the planet. We should be filled with compassion and love and kindness and inclusivity and servanthood and stunning generosity. Why? Because we feel like it. No, because Jesus, the party animal, is full of those things. Extravagant generosity stands out in a stingy world, and that's what we live in, don't we? A stingy world. It just stands out in a world where it's all about me. Extravagant generosity makes people ask, why are you doing that? Love them until they ask why. Here's another thing that stands out. Humble confidence stands out in a pridefully insecure world. Have you noticed how insecure the people are in the culture that we live? I mean, so many are insecure and anxious about so many things today, right? They're anxious about money. They're anxious about the future. They're anxious about who's going to be president. Insecure about their looks and about their body and about their health and about their relationships, whether they measure up or not or fit in. And we need to learn to live with a humble confidence that stands out in an insecure culture in which we live. You and I can move around the world secure in the truth that we are loved and we are accepted by God. How? Through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are forever marked as his sons and his daughters. That's our identity, and it can never be hacked or stolen. Because of Jesus, we have all the self-esteem that we'll ever need. Guilt and shame are gone. The past is in the past. And when you realize you're loved with this radical, unconditional, perfect, unfailing love, you stop striving so hard to be something that you already are, which is accepted. Now, if I'm insecure about who I am, guess what? Guess what? I'm always going to be ultra-focused on me. If I'm insecure about who I am, right? I'm always going to be ultra-focused on me. And if it's true, I can't really think about you. If I'm only focused on me, I can't think about you. I don't care about you if all I think about is me. That's why the self-centered Pharisees who showed up at all the parties couldn't love people the way Jesus did, because they were constantly seeking approval. What about me? Did you see what I just did? You know, do you like me, God? Is it all about me, God? Is that enough, whatever I just did? Am I enough, God? Am I in? But if I live like Jesus, really confident about who God says that I am, if I move through my day knowing that I am already accepted, that I am already secure, that I am already significant in the eyes of God, the one who made me, then the comparison game stops. Envy goes away. The masks drop. My pride takes a back seat, and I start noticing and I start loving the kind of people that Jesus noticed and loved. Maybe this full of joy, party animal thing may surprise you about God. You know, I mean, it did me. When I read through that, I'm like, he's always at a party, this guy. Jesus is a party animal. Because the truth is, I grew up with a God that was an angry God. I'm thankful for my upbringing. I was brought up Roman Catholic. I'm very thankful for that. It taught me the immensity of God, the power of God, all those good things. But I also saw this angry God who was disappointed and, frankly, disgusted by me. And then I learned the truth about God, that God is love. And when you know that love is directed toward you, you know his love is directed toward you, it changes everything in your life. You thought Jesus would have nothing to do with a scumbag like me. And, you know, if you've ever thought that, I'm so glad you're here today, that you came here today. When you invite him to be the forgiver of your sins, when you invite him to be the leader of your life, he starts to transform you and start to live like Jesus lived, with a sense of security, with a sense of freedom and joy and confidence. You start saying to others, you're no longer part of the landscape. I see you now. I notice you now. So I want to invite you to a party. The one who gives us life, whose name is Jesus, is right here in the middle of it. He wants us to be party animals, just like he was. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm so grateful to you for so many things. I know you came to lay down your life for us. You took all our sins, and we are eternally grateful, God. To see you include the kind of people you included, to love the kind of people that nobody else would touch, that has given a whole bunch of us a lot of hope. To know the God of the universe loves us and wants to do life with us is a game changer. Thank you for modeling that for us. Lord, wherever we find ourselves this week, help us to be aware of the people you love, the people you put in that category of priceless. Help us to be a friend and listen and love and accept and honor and be respectful and kind and just see where that goes. God, use us this week. Because we know the gospel doesn't just happen to us, it happens through us. I pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. We're going to move into an offering time right now. And we're going to close with Jesus Lifted High. That'll be the last song. God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this time of offering. We ask that you would take it and use it. Give us wisdom, God, on how to use the resources that you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across the land, so all they might see the truth and know with. I want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across the land, so all they might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I want to see Jesus lifted high. I want to see Jesus lifted high. Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across the land, so all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, so all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I want to see Jesus lifted high. I want to see Jesus lifted high. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Jesus lifted high.
from you. Who's this guy? That you're a nephew? Your great nephew. What's his name? Caden, right? Caden. Caden, come here, look at this. You wanna see my guitar? No? Come on, man.
That was adamant.
He is big.
They have another one too.
I know. He's so cute.